We're going to be doing the 72nd Psalm, and it is a classic one. This is one of the most prominent songs of the king, legitimizing, if you like, the monarchy. But you will soon see that this one is not about David. It is rather, most likely, written by David as a charge to his son Shlomo, who was the chosen successor to the throne. For that reason, I also gave you some sources, which I simply didn't have the time to translate, so I'll translate orally, from the book of Kings. Kings 1, 2nd chapter, we're told as follows. Vayikrevu yimei David lamut. The days of David were close to his death. You will recall, of course, that he was both born and died on Chag HaShavuot at the age of 70. He had also known, and he was very frail. The earlier chapter, chapter 1, tells us about the fact that he couldn't be warmed up, and he was quite frail at this point. And you need to understand that there were all kinds of intrigues going on in the palace about who would become king after him, with his various sons vying for supremacy and trying to get all kinds of alliances. And he declared that Shlomo, and wanted to make sure that Shlomo would actually be coronated in his lifetime, so there would be no question about who is the chosen successor. So he called him, and he also commanded him. And from here we have the idea of a tzava'ah, which in Hebrew means not a commandment, but it's really the last will and testament. And this is what he's telling his son that he wants him to do. Anochi olech b'derech kol ha'aretz. I am going the way of the entire earth, because every human being will die. V'chazakta v'hayita le'ish. And I want you to become strong and become a man. Because you need to know that Shlomo was very young at the time.
12, was it?
12. You got that right, yes. V'shamart et mishmeret Hashem Elokecha. Remember that your job is to maintain. Your job is to safeguard the Torah. Make sure that you go in God's ways. Lishmor chukotav u'mitzvotav u'mishpatav ve'edotav. To keep all of His laws. So the king is under the law, which is God, right? Not above the law. The law comes from Hashem, and the king is under Hashem, but his job is also to safeguard and make sure that the law is being executed in his kingdom. As it was written, katuv b'Torat Moshe, leman taskil et kol asher taseh. The word maskil has a double meaning. Lehaskil means seichel, that you shall have the knowledge, the wisdom to know what to do, mm-hmm. and so that you will also be successful in what you do. Leman yakim Hashem et dvaro. All this I'm asking you to do so that God will fulfill His promise to me. Im yishmeru banecha et darkam lalechet lefanai beemet bechol levavam bechol nafsham. Lo yikaret lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael. As long as they follow in the ways of the Torah, they will maintain the dynasty. So no one else can sit on the throne of Beit David. But there will be no throne of Beit David if they are not worthy. Shlomo grows up. He rises to the task, and he finally reaches, in chapter 3, we hear, a vision at night God appeared to him. B'giv'on nira Hashem el Shlomo b'chalom halayla. He appeared to him at night. V'yomer Elokim sha'al ma'etel lecha. Ask what it is you want of me. What should I give you? And Shlomo asks God, Ata sitat avdecha avir chesed gadol. By now David is dead. He says, you gave my father a great kindness. Kasher halach lefanecha be'emet u'bitzdaka u'biyishrat levav imach. That kindness, that love that you showed my father was contingent so long as he walked with you in truth, in righteousness, in honesty, yashar levav, v'tishmor lo et ha-chesed ha-gadol hazeh, and you safeguarded this great love, v'titen lo ben yoshev al kiso kayom hazeh, and you gave him a son who can sit on his throne, as it is on this very day. This is Shlomo's finally becoming not merely regent, meaning the designated king, but actually becoming king. V'ata Hashem Elokai, and therefore Hashem, my God, ata imlachta avdecha tachat avid avi, you anointed me, you appointed me king instead of my father David. V'anochi nar katon, lo edat set uvo, I am just a little lad, and I don't know how to go and come. Because you know how they said that David went and came because he went in front of his troops. How to manage my people, how to go out amongst them and how to come back into the palace. Ve'avdecha betoch amcha asher bacharta, amrav asher lo yimane ve'lo yisafer merov. And I recognize, he says, that I am merely a servant amongst the people. Remember that David was a man of the people. We talked about that. And he too sees, I am a man of nothing more than your nation. A nation, he says, which is a nation that cannot be counted. They are so many. Now, there actually was a number. So they could be a census. His purpose in saying this is not that they were a multitude of X number billions, but rather that they cannot be evaluated. So he saw himself as being quite small amongst people who are not only many, but great, about a great nation. And therefore, he says, V'natata, and what am I asking from you? Please give your servant lev shomea. Oh, how good that is. A heart that listens. Did you notice? Not an ear that listens, because it's not deaf. A heart that hears. Lishpot et amcha, so that I can judge your people. That means to be able to pick up nuance, to recognize and learn how to hear not only the words, but the emotion, and, if you like, the intention behind it. Lehavin ben tov lera, so that I can comprehend and know the difference between good and bad. Ki mi yuchal lishpot et amcha hakaved hazeh, for who can dare to judge this heavy nation? Heavy, again, not because how much they weigh, not because how many they really are, there were nations that were bigger at the time, but rather because he sees them as importance, as substantive. Not a simple thing to judge as people like this. Vayitav adavar b'nei Hashem, ki sha'al Shlomo adavar hazeh. God liked what he had asked for. Vayomer Elokim elav, and God told him, Yan asher sha'alta adavar hazeh. Because you asked for this, ve'lo sha'alta lecha yamim rabim, and you didn't ask for many days, meaning a long life and a longevity on the throne, ve'lo sha'alta lecha osher, and you didn't ask for wealth, ולא שאלת נפש אויביך, and you didn't ask for the lives of your enemies, ושאלת לך הבין לשמוע משפט, and all you asked was to comprehend, to understand, so that you would know how to hear proper judgment. הנה עשיתי כדבריך, behold, I've actually done what you've asked for. In other words, it's granted to you. Hinei natati lecha lev chacham v'navon. I gave you a wise and understanding heart. Asher kamocha lo haya lefanecha ve'acharocha lo yakum kamocha. There was none like you before, and none will be like you after you. Ve'gam asher lo sha'alta, and even the things you didn't ask for, I am hereby granting you. Gam osher, gam kabod, wealth, honor, asher lo haya kamocha ish b'melachim kol yamecha, that no king before you had had, and you'll have it all the days of your life. But, and now comes the but, ve, sometimes and, but sometimes it means but if, all of this is only on contingent. Telech bedrachai, to walk in my ways. Lishmor chukai u'mitzvotai, to follow all of my laws, those that you comprehend and those that you don't. Kasher halach David aveicha, like your father did before you. Ve'erachti et yamecha, and I will therefore also grant you a long life. So we move on to the fourth chapter, where I only gave you one verse. Yehuda v'Yisrael rabim kachol asher al hayam, larov. The people of Judea and Israel, meaning the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, which is Judea, and the ten tribes, all of which were unified under Shlomo, were like the sand of the sea, ochlim v'shotim usmechim, eating, drinking, and happy. Because after all the wars that were in the days of David, Shlomo inherited peace and developed prosperity. It continues and tells us furthermore in the fifth chapter. Ushlomo haya moshel bechol hamamlachot. He ruled not only Judea and Israel, but he also ruled over the kingdoms and the fiefdoms. Min hanar eretz plishtim ve'ad gvul mitzrayim. From the river of the land of the Philistines, ad gvul mitzrayim, until the border of Egypt. So I need you to know that he actually governed the entire area that we had after 1967, before we gave up the Sinai desert. And furthermore, all of those peoples, there were people that were Ammonites, there were people that were Surim, there were Philistines that now had become serfs of David, and now serfs of Shlomo. Megishim mincha, they used to bring tribute and gifts. Ve'ovdim et Shlomo kol yemei chayav, and they served Shlomo all the days of his life. So they had managed actually to colonize those people, and they ruled over them. Vayeshev Yehuda v'Yisrael lavetach, and Judea and Israel lived in security. No longer raids all the time. No longer terrorist attacks. Ish tachat gafno, each man under his vine, v'tachate nato, under his fig tree, which is an expression that each person has his own plot of land, nobody is stealing his food. Midan ve'ad Be'er Sheva, from Dan to Be'er Sheva. But he ruled over the Bedouins and those tribes that were down there, so he opened up another pathway to the Red Sea. That will explain to you why he developed trade relations, mercantile relations, as well as military alliances with the Lebanese, as well as with the Ethiopians in North Africa. He married the daughter of Pharaoh, so he developed, this was an alliance, you understand, a political marriage. So we are now living in peace with all of the people around. I want you then go and see chapter 6. Vayhi b'shmonim shana ve'arba me'ot shana, 480 years from the time we came out of the land of Egypt as slaves. On the fourth year, the Shana Revi'it, in the second month, meaning Nisan Iya, Lemelech Shlomo, in the fourth year of his reign, he completed building the house of God and the Beit HaMikdash. Now that there was peace, and he didn't have to be a conqueror, didn't need to kill people, he's the one that could build Beit HaMikdash. And what happens then is, he was given a further message directly from Hashem. Vayidvar Hashem el Shlomo le'mor, at the end of this chapter. Habayit hazeh, asher ata boneh, this house which you build, im telech bechukotai, ve'et mishpatai ta'aseh, ve'shamarta et kol mitzvotai lalechet bahem, ve'akimoti et dvari itach, asher dibarti el David. Avicha. If you continue and you will do what I commanded and follow all of my laws, I will fulfill the promise I made to David. And what will that promise be? Not only that you will maintain your throne, that was already told. But now the house, he wanted to tell him that the house is nice. And remember that the Shekhinah came down on that first night and they saw open miracles. But that was contingent. And the contingency is, V'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel, because God cannot be in a house. No house is big enough to contain him. But rather that the presence was apparent there. But it meant that God would be with them. V'lo ezov et ami Yisrael, and I will never abandon my people, Israel. But all that is contingent. Contingent. This is the contingency. Now we can move and understand the 72nd Mizmor, and we will also understand the last line of the Mizmor. So I'm going to actually begin at the end. The first line tells you Lishlomo, and this does not mean written by Shlomo. It means for Shlomo. This is the last will and testament. And at the very end, if you look carefully, it says, Kalu Tfilot David Ben Yishai. So ended the prayers of David, the son of Yishai. There are more Mizmorim after the 72nd that were written by David. Oh, yes. So it's a mistake to think this is the last. This is the end of his prayers. The prayers that he offered for Shlomo. So what this Mizmor is not merely a last will and testament that he told to Shlomo, but it is the content of his prayer to God on behalf of his son. So after he commanded his son, he prayed to God. This is for Shlomo. In other words, this is a prayer for my son Shlomo. Elohim, God, Mishpatecha lamelech ten, v'tzidkatcha leven melech. A mishpat is God's judgment. You know, God, the judgments, the hard stuff, the sins that I committed, and the punishments that I have coming to me, give them, says Rashi. But the tzidkatcha, the tzedakah, the charity, the judgment which is tempered with mercy, give that leben melech, to the son of the king. He knows that he's dying. In other words, give it to me, God, not for him. Why? Because we believe that the generations are linked. And so when we say Kaddish for somebody departed, what we're doing is we are giving the neshama naliyah. How? What he didn't finish, God, I will finish. That's why it says when about great men that when they died, they were gathered unto their people. Their neshama links to those that they loved. So that if it can't yet go up, be part of the God, of God himself, because that's where the neshama comes from, it means that I will finish. I will give it the tikkun that it needs so that it can finally go to its rest. Because neshamas that haven't finished their job don't go up. And they're not down. They're neither here nor there. Right. But if I undertake to finish it, then I'm giving that neshama a possibility called aliyah. That's why we say that neshama should have an aliyah. Do you understand? It should go up. I will finish the job. I promise I will finish the job. That's how the generations are linked. Ditto. When we say about a good person, we say that he should be a melitz yosha for the next generation. If he had great merits, those great merits can save me. Because we're linked to each other. We think that we stand each person alone, but that's not the case. We are linked to the previous generation, and we're also linked to the future generation. And we're also linked to people that we influence around us. So what he does is he says to God, and that's Rashi's perspective, don't harshly judge him. Do that with me. After all, he's young. Any yisurim, any suffering, I'll take it. Let him not have it. Yadin amecha v'tzedek. You judge him with the law tempered with mercy, and he in turn will judge your people also with tzedek, with the law tempered with mercy. Ve'aniyecha b'mishpat, and the poor amongst you with the law. Why do I want the poor to be judged with law? Because his job is to save the poor to the full letter of the law. In other words, if they've been abused, don't have mercy to the abusers. If they've been exploited and things have been stolen from them, don't give anybody short shrift. Give them back exactly what they deserve according to the law. For what is his number one role? Yis'u harim shalom la'am. May the mountains lift up and carry peace for the nation. Why the mountains? Because mountains tend to be rocky and not necessarily a place where things grow. But others say this is not about mountains. When we read in Shira Ma'alot, Esa Einai El Harim, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Mountains sometimes refers to the tall, powerful people, the rulers, the kings, as opposed to the lowly people. They're like the valleys. May the powerful people not take things for themselves. Their role is to secure peace. Ugvaot b'tzedakah. And the hills, their job is to secure tzedakah for the people. Yishpot. May my son, this is his prayer, may my son judge Aniye Am, the lowest, the poorest of the nation. Yoshia Livnei Evyon, and there are people lower than Aniim, they're Evyonim. Evyonim have nothing. Ani is relative. Next to the rich people, he is Ani. An Evyon is truly somebody that doesn't have what he needs to sustain himself. Save the sons of the Evyon, the Yedake Oshek, and oppress the one who exploits them, the abuser. When people are poor, when they're desperate for a job, they'll take anything. And sometimes they'll take anything, and since the person knows that they've got nowhere else to work, he will use them to the maximum. Unfortunately, that happens too often. It was the king's job to make sure that that would not be the case, because those cases really can't be adjudicated through the court system. To arrange for equity, to arrange for a security for the lowest, for the weakest in the nation, that became the king's job. Why couldn't they get this thing through the legal system? Let's talk about this for a moment. You know, desperate for a job. So you come in and you say, okay, I'll work for food. Legally, you agreed to it. We have a contract. What can you possibly do against it? But if the king steps in and says, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. You've got to give him more than that subsistence wage. You're making a lot of profit on this. I want you to give him more than that. That became the role of the king. So the role of the king is not to secure the powers of the aristocracy or their lands the way you would have seen it in England or in France or in Russia. His job was to secure the position of the weakest in the community. That was his charge, and that's what he told him. And if he will do so, under his kingdom, Yira'ucha, they will fear you, fear God. And that was his prayer, that under the reign of Shlomo, people will know who God is and will do things, not because they're being compelled with a gun to their head because the police tell them so, but because of Yira Shamayim, because they fear heaven. Because sometimes there's some things that can't be adjudicated in the courts. So may they fear you, God, Im Shemesh, as long as the sun shines, along with the sun. ולפני ירח, and before the moon, as long as the moon is here, dor dorim, for generations upon generations. In other words, he's praying not only for Shlomo, he's praying that Shlomo will begin a reign of peace that will last for many, many generations. Part of it occurred in the days of Shlomo, not all of it, and that this would become eventually the charge for Melech HaMoshiach.
Okay? How can a king go through every person and make sure that they weren't being taken advantage of?
Well, you will remember the very famous story. I couldn't write you the rest of the book of Melachim. Do you remember when those two women came to them and about the baby?
Oh,
it's my baby. It's not my baby. Yeah. And when he had that marvelous wisdom to say, okay, we'll cut the baby in half, because according to the law, let's talk about that. There is a famous section in the Gemara about a talit, mm-hmm. in which this one says, it's mine, and this one says, it's mine. What's the law? Cut it in half. So cut the baby in half, that's the law. What can you do under such circumstances? It's called mediation. If there is no proof, we don't have DNA testing, we don't know whose baby this is, what will we do? What would we do if somebody claimed, this belongs to me, this belongs to me? You understand? Both of them have the same claims. Now, legally, in a court, if you make a claim for some property and somebody else says, no, it's mine, and you can't prove providence, what would they do under such circumstances? They're thrown out of the courts, because the court system can't judge it without proof. But in such a case, you would have somebody who would be in a miserable situation, because one of them is not lying. So what did he do? He said, cut the baby. So one of the women said, no, 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 don't cut the baby, give it to her.
Right.
And that's how he knew who the real mother is. That wisdom to listen to the heart. So that was considered something that made him very famous. And that's the extra legal power of the king. Because sometimes the legal system is not just and can't be. Because they can only judge based on the written law and the evidence in front of them. We have a murdered person. We have one witness. Can't capital judgment, because you need to have
two
witnesses. Is it possible that he's the murderer? Yes, but the hands of the court are now tied. In a case like that, a king could have executed that man, based on, if you would like, what circumstantial evidence or partial evidence, when he felt that this was something that was crucial. Yered kamatar alges, but may your judgment, may the king's judgment, come down like rain on Gez, is a freshly mown lawn, quenching it. The idea is that the judgment should not be harsh judgment, but one that actually allows the grass to grow better. Ukirvivim zarzif aretz, and as sprinkles coming down on a patch of ground. You will actually see the similar imagery when Moshe Rabbeinu in Ha'azinu says, may my message come down like dew, like rain. The judgment, even when it's brought down by the king, should be accepted, should help the country grow, should help the society flourish, and not crush it. Yifrach b'yamav tzadik, and as a result, in his days, the tzadik will blossom. Righteous people will blossom. V'rov shalom, and there will be much peace, ad bli yareach, until there is no moon. Vayerd miyam ad yam, and may he have dominion from sea to shining sea. What seas are we talking about? We learned this in the past. This is not talking about the oceans, even though when they say about the Moshiach, it means from the Atlantic to the Pacific and so on and so forth. But rather from the Mediterranean to the Red Sea. Uminah adafsei aretz, and from the river to the edges of the land that was promised to Abraham. He doesn't mention, is this the Euphrates River, or are we talking about, it's most probably Jordan. Talking about the Jordan. Lefanav yireu tziyim, before him will kneel tziyim. A tzi in modern Hebrew is a fleet. Mm. Like a fleet of ships. Mm. However, and Rashi takes that position, it also means groups. And it could be groups of people, just like there's fleets of ships. Radak says, no, it comes from the word tziya. And tziya means arid places in which nothing grows, since he just spoke about the blossoming of the tzaddik and the rain that comes there. He will rule from sea to sea, he says, and the dwellers of the desert. Remember I told you underneath Be'er Sheva is that desert area. They will kneel before him. These are the nomadic tribes that live in the desert. Ve'oivav, and his enemies, those that hate him, will lick the dust of his feet. In other words, they prostrate themselves in front of him. Malchei Tarshish Vi'im, the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles. Tarshish is in the area of Armenia or Turkey. Vi'im and the Isles, that refers to the Greek Isles. Minchai Yashivu will return with gifts. They come with gifts, and they did come to Shlomo with gifts. Why do we say Yashivu and not Yaviu? Because they will do it on an annual basis, bringing tribute. Malchei Shva Usva, the kings of Sheba. You remember that the queen of Sheba came to Shlomo HaMelech. Usva is the country right next to it. So it's like Ethiopia and Somalia. Eshkar Yakrivu will bring, Eshkar is presents, or Sachar. And you remember that they brought all kinds of spices and perfumes, and she came to hear his wisdom. V'yishtachavu lo kol melachim, all these kings will bow to him. Kol goyim yavduhu, all the nations will worship him. Ah, are we talking about Shlomo? It's true that in the area, all of the kings pay tribute, and he became a very powerful king, and a power in the world, at least in the ancient world. But this is now referring not only to Shlomo, but to Moshiach. As Moshiach being a messenger of God. And why will they do this? Not only for his wisdom, no. Ki yatzil evyon mishaveya. Because he will save the impoverished who are pleading. Because they will know him for his benevolence, for his pursuit of righteousness and justice. Ve'ani ve'en ozer lo, and any poor man who has nobody else to help him. So word is going to go out in the world, the reason they're going to worship him, the reason he's going to win all of this praise is not for his might, not for his wealth, but for his kindness. Yachos al dal ve'evyon. Please notice this, they're not leaving this alone. He will have pity on the poorest, the dal. We have a word ani, dal, evyon, ve'nafshot evyonim yoshia, and he will save the souls of the evyon. Please notice not merely their bodies, but also their souls, because his job will also be to teach them. To teach them. Says Malbim, he not only is concerned about getting them food, getting them medical help, he's also concerned about their education, about their spiritual life. He's looking for more than that. You don't just throw them a bone. You develop them so that you actually bring them out of their poverty, both physical as well as spiritual. Vayichi, and he will live. Vayiten lo mizahav shva. Who will live? The poorest of the poor. And he will give him from the gold that he got from Sheba. The queen of Sheba brought him gold. What does he do with the gift that he received? Doesn't keep them as the crown jewels up in the tower. Instead, he distributes it to the poor. Vayitpalel be'ado tamid, and he will pray for him always. He prays for the poor person. He prays for the sick person. He gives them the gold, but he also prays for them. And as a result, kol hayom yivalchenehu, all the day, this poor person blesses whom? The king, and by extension, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehi pisat bar ba'aretz. There will be, bar is grain. So we're talking about have golden grain along the land. Berosh harim yirash. And at the tops of the mountains he will quake. And there will be this noise. Remember I told you that the mountains are not merely real mountains. It means at the top of all of the other powers, all of the kings. Kilvanon pirio. His fruit will be like Lebanon. What do we know about Lebanon? Why Lebanon?
The top of the country.
It's at the top of the country. There are cedars, but more than the smell. But what drips from Lebanon? Snow comes there. And from the snow that melts, the water that trickles down and makes the valleys fruitful. So if you're looking at land as a metaphor for people of power, he is at the top of the mountain. He quakes to shake loose that snow. The snow trickles down and makes the rest of the country flourish. Ve'yatzitzu me'ir ke'esef asadeh. And they will pop up, coming out from the cities like grass growing everywhere. In other words, no longer will they have to hide behind walls because they're afraid of the enemy. The people can live out in the open, and they will grow their people as well as plenty of food for the people all over the land. So he's using the imagery of a fruitful land as an imagery also of a fruitful country. Yihi shmo le'olam, may his name live on forever. Lifnei shemesh yinon shmo. Before the sun, meaning as long as the sun is here, his name will be yinon. And now we have a lot of issues about the name yinon. Chazal tell us that the name of Moshiach is Yinon. Yinon is supposed to be one of the names of Moshiach. Radak says that the word Yinon means nothing more than Nin v'Neched. It's the grandson or the great-grandson of David HaMelech. And therefore, that's all it means. But Balei HaKabbalah tell us something else. Yinon comes from a root called Nun. Nun in many of the Semitic tribes means a fish. Nineveh, the city Nineveh, means Neveh HaNun, the house of the fish. And actually its symbol was a house with a fish inside it. And why fish? You know that from HaMalach HaGoel Oti Mikol Ra. Ve'yidgu larov bekerev ha'aretz. May they be like fish in the midst of the land. Because fish multiply. However, it's a very, very goofy metaphor. A mixed metaphor. Because why would you say that they should be like fish in the midst of the land? You should say like fish in the midst of the water. Fish in the midst of the land will flounder and die. When Yaakov blessed his grandchildren, that they should be like fish in the midst of the land. Many of the Mefarshim say that they should be increased like fish, but in the midst of the land. Never quite comfortable in the land. What will a fish do? Flop, flop, flop until it reaches
water.
The water. What is water in all of our imagery? Torah. Without water, the fish does not survive. But more importantly, the idea is for him never quite to be comfortable. On land, he always has to be the oddball. He remains distinct. He is worshipped by other people. He governs other people. He seeks justice for other people. But he's different from other people. He's always got to be the oddball. He is the fish in the land. And therefore, to many, the word yinon means not merely something that grows, something that prospers, but rather always lives distinct from others and a little bit uncomfortable here on earth. And so they will know him throughout the world, but he will always be different. Ah, but others tell us that there's something else. That the word, as I told you, Rashi took the position that it was nin v'nechet and radakte too, and therefore it means it will be his
descendant.
If it's not Shlomo, it will be one of his children. One of his children will be there forever. Others tell us that the word yinon is similar to the word yikon, will be established. And there are even some moderns who dare say that this is an error. Kaf, nun. And therefore it means, and his name will be established as long as the sun shines on the earth. Comes the Gemara in Sanhedrin and tells us, Mashmo shel HaMashiach. What's the name of the Mashiach? Some say the name is Shiloh. Some say his name is Hanina. Hanina means pardon. Some say his name is Menachem, the comforter. And some say that the name is Yinon. If you take the first letter of Shiloh, Hanina, Menachem, and Yinon, you will be able to spell out the word
Mashiach,
whatever his name is. This is not his name. The name is what you're known for. And what are you known for? You're known for being the comforter, the one that will find pardon for them, the one that will help them increase, and the one that will bring them back to Shiloh, where the first Mishkan was, Vayit Baruchu Bo, and they will all be blessed through him. Kol Goyim Ya'ashruhu, all the nations will affirm him, will say, he's the one. Are we talking about the Mashiach? Are we talking about the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, the King of all kings? Look at the next line. Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokei Yisrael. Blessed is Hashem, who is God and the special God of Israel, the protector of Israel. Oseh Niflaot Levado, who does wonders all by himself, because there's no one else who can make these wonders. Ubaruch Shem Kvodo Leolam, and may the name of his glory last forever. Vayemale Kvodo et Kol Haaretz, and may his glory, his honor, fill the entire earth. Amen ve'amen. Kalu Tfilot David Ben Yishai. You see, David did not pray for his son to become deified, but for his son to do nothing more than perhaps be the instrument for all people to have only one king, and that's Hashem. If he can spread that word, if he can be the instrument, the purpose of the Moshiach is not for us to worship Moshiach. The purpose of the Moshiach is to teach us how to worship God. That's why we say Hashem Melech, Hashem Limloch Leolam Va'ed. He was king, he is king, he will reign forever. And if you see carefully, David is praying for his son, hopes that his son will understand that he's nothing more than an instrument to have all people come ultimately to Hashem, knowing that his son will do exactly what he did, which is die. For the Mashiach is mortal.